Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. My name's Randy Youngblood, and I'm glad to be with you. Can you hear me okay? Oh, hey, welcome to our new series, Great Prayers of the Bible. And when we think about prayer, I think every one of us wants to see God respond to our prayers. And the idea behind Great Prayers of the Bible is we're going through the scriptures, and we're going to find prayers that God has answered in the past. The idea about praying these prayers, though, is as I was going through the scriptures and looking, there are a lot of great prayers in the Bible, aren't there? In fact, I realized as we were putting this series together that this is a series that's going to reoccur, because there are great prayers of Paul, there are great prayers of the prophets, there are great prayers of David, and of course, there's Jesus. He prayed a few great prayers himself. And so this series, or a mini-series, just for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three of the great prayers that Jesus prayed. You know, I think this has been a great weekend. Yesterday, we sent a work team over to Sonoyta, who was doing some serious construction on the house of a lady and for her and her children. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of a church like that, that sends a group of people, goes in response to a need there. And then there were also a group of people that showed up at Jared McCormick's house. Does that name sound familiar to you? That's the name of our new creative arts director. And you know what? He's here. If we had a spotlight, it would end up right over here. And a couple weeks ago, I'm so glad, you guys are so generous, we were able to fly him out to be here for the Global Leadership Summit. And for him to be able to do that with us and us with him, there was just something that just ignited that said, we got the right guy. I'm excited about how he fits with us, how he's going to be lifting other people up, how he's going to be a builder of leaders. He's not someone who seeks the spotlight or the stage, but he has the same heart that we have for outreach and seeing God set people free from the effects of sin and empowered to join the fight for the souls of others. And that's going, there was such a peace when he was here that weekend and slipped on stage, just like he did today. He actually starts tomorrow. But I'm so grateful that we found someone with a calling and not just someone calling looking for a job. That's so critical. In fact, when we talk about that calling, that's an answer to prayer that we waited a long time for. We waited and we wondered, God, why aren't you hurrying up? Why is it taking so long? And yet, at the same time, at the end of the struggle, we look back and say, it makes sense. And so what we want to do when we look at the prayers of the Bible is we want to also look at the heart behind those prayers and understand that at that time when you and I aren't getting the answers that we want or that we look for or expect, we can trust God that he's doing the best work that we don't even know to ask for. And so we found someone with a calling, not just calling looking for a job. Got a question for you. What's the biggest job that you would take in a heartbeat if you could have it? What's the job that you would aspire to? In fact, let's just put it this way. Whose job would you take? Maybe you'd like your boss's job, because you think that, man, if I could have that job, this would be such a better place to work, because you think working for yourself would just be a piece of cake. Or what is it that maybe you don't want to stop there? Maybe your ambition is to run the whole company. You want to be in charge. Or if you work on post, how far would you have to move up the food chain in order to make a difference? I know somebody recently retired because he couldn't find a spot high enough to make the difference that he was wanting to make. Or how about maybe you'd want to be president of the United States. Now, that's something that children aspire to, but adults, when they see the price of what it means, they say, no thanks. But think for a moment the difference that you could make. Or maybe, let's go for the big one. Would you want to be God? What would you do if you were God? I mean, you wouldn't even have to be responsible for everything. How about just say, God, let me answer prayers for a day. Let me just answer prayer. What would you do? Who wouldn't want to be God for a moment to get the job of answering prayers? That'd be kind of like being Santa Claus, wouldn't it? Some of you are thinking, yeah, I'd like to show God how it's done. Others of you are afraid that you don't want to be sitting next to those people because you're afraid they'll be struck by lightning. Oh, answered prayer usually only means one thing. I mean, if you were to say answered prayer, what answer would you expect? It means yes. And when you get a yes to a prayer, what's your evaluation of prayer? You say, that worked. Prayer worked. I got a yes. I got what I asked for. And yet when you get a no, what is our usual response? And prayer didn't work. Prayer doesn't work with a no. Now, none of us should feel qualified to be God. But it doesn't stop us from wondering what it would be like to get our hands on the controls. And when we look at the idea of prayer, I think if we were to be honest, we'd be saying, you know, I'd have to say, you know, for a long time, the purpose of prayer was what? Was to get God to do my will. That it would be a wrestling match as a scene to gain control over God. That I would be saying, in effect, God, that I would want God to do not his will, but my will. And the purpose of prayer was to pray in such a way, either get my heart right or just say the right words or have the right passion or fervency to get God to relent on something. Oh, okay, Randy, or whatever it is. But oftentimes I recognize for years that's how I approach prayer, was to get God to do my will, not his. Now, maybe if you don't feel you believe in God this morning, it's probably the same issue, isn't it? There was something that you were asking for. It wasn't much, but it was big to you, and God didn't do it. And so you're going to conclude then that either God doesn't care or that there isn't a God. And I think a lot of times some of the most fervent atheists are saying there can't be a God because I asked something of him that was really simple, it was really good, and either there isn't a God or he's not good. It probably came down to one of those disappointments. And would you agree that there's more to being God than just saying yes to prayers or making people jump a little higher in order before you grant the request? And also from our perspective on our own spiritual journeys, to be able to accept any answer other than yes is an advanced stage of maturity. You know, there are several different stages of maturity, and it starts when you or I realize that we were a spiritual being, that there was something inside of us that would transcend, go beyond our body, and would live when the body dies. And so there's an awareness that I am a spiritual being. Then the spiritual journey goes a little further where you recognize that not only am I a spiritual being, but there is a higher power out there somewhere. We don't know him personally or in detail yet, but we just come to an awareness that there is one out there. And then the awareness that that higher power has revealed himself through the person of Jesus. Now that's my Christian bias and my Christian worldview. And then the next stage is after realizing that that higher power has revealed himself through this man named Jesus, that I enter into a personal relationship with him through Jesus. And then the spiritual growth comes through an awareness of and a willingness to surrender. It's not by striving and not by saying, okay, I'm going to show God how good I am or how much I love him or impress him, but just saying, okay, just surrender my will to his. Yes isn't the only answer to prayer, regardless of how we talk about it. You know, yes is our favorite answer, and it's really the only answer that we like at the time. There's also no, and it takes a lot of faith to see that that comes from a God who loves me, because initially, when I hear no, it's what gives? Don't you care? It's our least favorite, but there's also the answer of wait, not yet, or grow. There's time. There needs to be time to grow. That's not a favorite answer either. We all want more yes answers. And actually, it's the only answer we're interested in. Even though when you look back and you recognize that some of those other answers you now give thanks for now that you have a different perspective. Well, there are three options to get more yes answers. And you'll see they're not all viable, but these are the options as I see them. And you can pick one. First one is become God. Be Bruce Almighty for a day. Get your hands on the controls and decide what prayers get answered and what don't. And you can get more answers when you become God. The second option is to, as I said, to pray in a way that changes God's will. God didn't want to say yes, but you convinced him, oh, all right, yes, for you to change God's will to match yours. If you can change God's will to match yours, you'll get more yes answers. Or the third option is to change our prayers to match God's will. When we align up with His will, then more yes answers will flow. Now, part of my spiritual journey was, and slow getting to this stage, was recognizing that if God's will is perfect, why would I pray to change it? I mean, really, if the purpose of my prayers is to get God to do something He didn't want to do, then what I'm really saying is I want less than God's best, and I'm asking God to compromise for me instead of raise me up to His perfect will so that I could experience the best of what He has to give. I want God to compromise. We have to be careful. So if we want more yes answers to our prayers, we need to pray prayers in the will of God. And we need to pray the great prayers of the Bible. Now, here's a word of caution. These prayers are all really easy to say. And I'm not talking about repeating the language. Remember the book? Some of you will remember the book that sold like crazy a few years ago called The Prayer of Jabez. Remember how people were buying that like crazy? What was it about The Prayer of Jabez that people, were they all of a sudden lining themselves up to the will of God? No, they thought they found the magic formula, and the part of The Prayer of Jabez that sticks in my mind is, enlarge my territory. There are a lot of people didn't care anything else about The Prayer of Jabez other than enlarge my territory, and if they could get God to give them more, then they would say prayer worked. Because yes, He did it. Now, in some cases, that was God's will, and people would see that, and they'd think, okay, I just got to pray the same prayer. But what we actually want to do is we don't want to just mouth the words of the prayers, because that would be easy to mimic. But we want to capture the heart behind every prayer. And so whenever we have the Great Prayers of the Bible series, we're going to look at the words, yes. We're going to read the words, and we're going to pray those words. But what we need God to do is transform our hearts so that the context that brought those words would flow out of our hearts as well. And so this week, this series, this month, we're going to look at the prayers of Jesus. And the one prayer of Jesus that we're going to look at first is one of my favorites. In fact, the prayer we're going to look at today is the reason for everything you admire about Him. And so if Jesus prayed this prayer, we want to pray this prayer. But more than just the words, we want to capture the heart and the spirit of the one who prayed. Now, the place where we find Jesus praying this prayer is after all the public miracles are done. All of the public teachings have been given. He's in a private place. And the power behind successful people is often found in the private place. When no one's watching, what's going on that no one sees but a few? And for Jesus, the only thing that remained was the cross. And so here He was, and He said to His disciples, He took them to a place called Gethsemane. And here's a photo of Gethsemane, a tree that looks pretty old that may, who knows how long it had been there. But this is believed to be the place where Jesus brought His disciples when the cross was hours away. And He said to His 11, because Judas had been excused, He said, sit here while I go over there and pray. See, Jesus' devotion to prayer, I mean, here was someone who had late nights with people lining up to see Him and heal them and to bring their needs and their burdens and requests.